Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. Get your friends together, get your family together, get you some cold drink, unless you're on your way to work in the morning. Download the Crazy Sheet, get your favorite podcasting app, and let's talk about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the Crazy Sheet podcasting studio, and Scotty is out on the road. Scotty, how the hell are you, and where the hell are you?
Man, I'm good. Just excited. Mark, we're almost there, buddy. I mean, it is like when everybody laughs about when the Hall of Fame game comes on, that game gives me goosebumps every year. And I have to admit that there's always a speech every year that I love. This year it was Peyton Manning. There's always a speech that I love, but there's always guys that just, you know, it's just fun to see get in because it was as a guy you liked or got Blunt getting in for the Steelers was just a huge deal for me because that was my favorite team growing up. And he was a hard-nosed, just old-school guy. Watching that guy get in was a big deal. But the Peyton Manning speech was awesome. But I love it, and it gives me chill bumps because we're always less than 30 days away from college football when that game hits the field. And we're there, man. We're 2 weeks away.
Yeah,
I mean, it is awesome. And like we're 3 weeks away from full on football. I mean, it is great. And I'm excited. That's what I love about it. Yeah, I could care less about NFL preseason. I watch it just to watch it. But it is just awesome that we're almost there. And there's some great games early. And as I've started looking through the season, man, get week three.
Yeah.
Is gonna be awesome. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I saw that early on, but man, I'll tell you what, I was going through this the other day and think about where we were last year at this time with are we gonna play? Who's gonna play? When's it gonna start? What are the rules gonna be? And you and I were sitting there trying to figure out how we were gonna handicap this. And You dig more into numbers than I do. I spent more time last year reading beat writer reporters from places that I have never been to. Well, I've been to most, but just trying to figure out who was going to be on the field on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I bring that up is this has been kind of a point that no one has talked about a lot that I have seen in the national media, is that I still think there's going to be some, you're going to have to look to see who's going to be on the field on Saturday. Because I do think COVID is going to catch some of these teams along the way somewhere.
There's no doubt about it. Everybody is making such – like, congratulations to Ole Miss. You know, 100% vaccinated. There's other schools that are, you know, great. You know, no problem. But everybody keeps talking about breakthrough cases. Every person I know as we record this podcast that has COVID right now is fully vaccinated. And that is multiple people. I mean, I'm nearing 10 people that I know with it right now that are fully vaccinated.
So
the answer to that is just like NC State baseball during the national title, college baseball, there's no question guys are going to test positive that have had it. And when they do, it's a forfeit this year, Mark.
Yeah.
It ain't a reschedule. It's a different deal. This is going to be a fascinating deal. Better keep following the beat writers is the point in that.
And the other thing, too, my point was, is be with your – I know we've talked about a lot of conference over-under win totals. We're trying to give you some advantage out there. But I can tell you, read your tickets, because if a team does not play 12 games, even if they hit the over, you will not get paid. Because it happened to me when North Carolina had a game canceled via hurricane a few years ago, had a bet in Vegas, bet in Reno, went to go cash my ticket. I was all excited. I think the over-under win total was 7.5. They had won 9 games that season, only ended up playing 11, something like that. And I go to cash my ticket, and it's not a win. It's a refund because they did not play all 12 games. So I'm only putting this out there because I know some of you are still new at gambling, new at betting. If you're betting with credit with a local guy, if you're betting online, you may want to ask and just make sure you understand the rules before you put, you know, a couple of units out there or whatever your play is going to be, because – this year, they're not going to be playing football games on Wednesday afternoon like they were last year. And so that could cause some problems. But with that all being said, Everything I've been reading has been so positive about college football this season. I am so excited that we're less than 2 weeks away from getting this thing rolling. I still think they need a better name for week zero, but I'll take it because they got football.
How about my man Nick Saban today on a little segue? You're right. Week zero needs a better name. But how about my man Nick Saban? When somebody asked him about Oregon's 100 uniform combination, and my man says, well, we got two. We got a red one on the road and a crimson one at home and a white one on the road. We're more concerned around here about who's in them. Impossible not to like Nick Saban. It's impossible not to like Nick Saban. Like, I love him. He's a successful business guy. He brings in, and if you have not seen the Ernie Johnson speech for coming in, Saban is notorious for bringing in speakers and like, hey, and this is what I love about Saban. He is a motivational guy, and people see him with veins sticking out of his neck, and you can't build the program that he's built without reaching people on a personal level and being a motivational guy and getting them to buy in to what's in it for them. And he is a leader of men, and he brings in great people every year. And I've listened to multiple people speak after they've spoken to Alabama, because that gets them basically a gig speaking at corporate deals. Ernie Johnson's speech, if you didn't see it, I retweeted. If you follow us, you surely watched it. It's phenomenal. Is phenomenal. We need more Ernie Johnsons in America. That's the deal. We can fix a lot of problems with more people treating people like that, myself included.
I would agree with you, and I'm excited 2 weeks from now to start, because last year during football season we had to deal with an election. I don't care who you voted for. I just hope you voted. This year that's not going to get in the way of what we got going on here. It's going to be full-bore football from 2 weeks from now all the way through the national championship. We've got games booked we're going to. I'm excited about everything. Scott, we've got exactly two conferences left in the independents to cover. I'm going to let you choose. Do you want to go west to the Mountain West, or do you want to go south to go to CUSA?
Let's go to CUSA. We need to get us some CUSA.
Conference USA, which has been dominated by the University of Alabama, Birmingham, and Bill Clark for the last several years, which is one of the greater stories in college football. If you don't remember, the University of Alabama made them disband their program, and somehow they cobbled it back together so that they could keep playing. They had players that had to sit out. They put it back together. This team has overperformed every single year. He's actually recruiting pretty well down there. Conference USA is interesting at that. And Scott, if you're looking at CUSA, where are you going to start when you're talking about making some money this season?
Well, my start is old Domino.
Oh, boy.
I'm going under. They are a 3.5 over under win total, and I am selling on my man Ricky Rain. No offense to him. But I do not believe a team who could not get a game together last year, that that's not going to affect them in a negative manner. I just look at their schedule and candidly just don't see four wins on this schedule. I'm not positive I see three, because I think UTEP, like you, is going to be a better football team. I think they're looking at some games. When you look at this over-under win total, that are like, they got a chance to win this. They get Buffalo at home. I've already told you I think Buffalo's not going to be a good football team. They're probably not going to lose this game at home. If old Domino is going to get over 3.5, I think that's a game they got to win, because it ain't going to be at Liberty. You know, I think they'll beat Hampton. They're probably not going to win at Wake Forest. I think UTEP's better. That's on the road. I think Marshall takes a big step back, which we'll discuss, but I don't think they're going to be good enough to beat those guys on the road. I think Western Kentucky might very likely be the best team in their division, if not the best team in the league. I think that's a struggle. They get La Tech at home. They're significantly worse than La Tech. They're going to have to spit the bit to lose that game. FIU's on the road. FIU comes there. They're significantly better than old Domino. They're at Middle Tennessee. against Charlotte at home. You find me 4 wins on that schedule.
Now, I've gone through this schedule because when I realized they didn't play a game last year, I thought, good God, this team's going to be bad. And it is going to be bad. I think he's really going to struggle. The Hampton game is the only game they're going to win on that schedule, and maybe the only game they'll be favored all season long. Charlotte's not going to be very good. I love the coach and they've got down there, and you got Coach Litt down there when they celebrate after the locker, when they win in the locker room. But I don't know how they're going to win a game. UTEP's going to be a lot better. As much as we talked about Buffalo being down, I still think this team's got way more talent than Old Dominion has. So I agree with you. Under 3.5, if you can find it, you're going to pay some juice in this spot. But I definitely think it's an actionable play. I am not in love with the roster. I don't like the schedule, and I don't like the fact that they haven't played a football game all year. And so I could buy into some Old Domino with you.
Here's the deal on Old Domino. I know where the over-under win total is coming from. Ricky Rain, at the end of the day, is a first-year head coach. I understand it's year two over there, but he's never coached a game. And they're looking at transfers. They got a UCF transfer at quarterback, got a Georgia transfer at wide receiver, got a West Virginia transfer at wide receiver. Those guys transferring because they couldn't play. And the flip side of that, and look, I think Mack is a good player, the quarterback. I really do think he's a good player. But at the end of the day, it's all about what's around you as a quarterback. And the West Virginia and Georgia transfers played the same slot at wide receiver. So it's not like they're going to be on the field together very often. At the end of the day, I just don't think this is a very good roster. I'm selling, first-time coach. They got a lot of transfers. Rain's bringing a lot of guys in. It's a lot of new people. They didn't play a down last year. Color me under 3.5. The way the schedule shakes out, the good teams they play, the teams they get at home are good. I think that leads to losses. The teams they're equal to or close to in the league, they play on the road. UTEP, Marshall, those kinds of Middle Tennessee, those kinds of schools, that leads to losses. I don't think this team gets 4 wins.
Talking about shifting over, let's shift to Western Kentucky for a second. This is going to be one of the more interesting teams in this league this year. A lot of people are on the Hilltoppers. If you wanted to bet them to win the conference, you needed to do it a while ago. That was over, I saw it as high as 17, then I saw it at 14-1. It's down at all the way to 5 and 6-1 at different places. The reason being is, I'm going to give you a name you can hang on to with this one. Bailey Zapp. Kid played for Houston Baptist last year, was their quarterback, flung it all over the yard. They went 1-3 last year, but they played La Tech, Texas Tech, and North Texas in those spots. And in each of those games, he threw for over 300 yards, over 400 yards in one of them. Interesting thing, what they did with this guy is that they needed a new offensive coordinator. So what'd they do? They went and hired the Houston Baptist head coach, Zach Kittley. And he came over and he brought Zapp with him on his super senior year, and he brought all 3 of his wide receivers with him from that Houston Baptist team. Now, there is a gigantic jump in talent between Houston Baptist and playing at a Group of 5 level. But the difference is it's going to help jumpstart this offense because the kids that are going to be running it have all been running it under the same coach from the year before. Their over-under win total comes in at 6. Which I think is about right, but what I'm going to tell you to keep your eye on Western Kentucky is I think there's going to be some opportunities to bet on this team as we start rolling through their schedule this season.
Yeah, it's the whole point in these leagues to me is finding the value in games and who are teams that they could beat. Let me tell you, looking at this Western Kentucky schedule, you want to talk Shootout City? You want to talk about a game, if it comes out as a big line? Indy, week 4. They're at Indiana. Are they get Indiana at home? That's a team that's going to come try to light up the scoreboard, throw it all over the field. This is a team that's going to try to do the exact same thing at home. I think it's going to be interesting to see that line in that game. When you invest in these leagues, for me, the value to me is – studying and understanding these teams, not only when they play the Power 5 and finding value in the lines those first 4 weeks, but it is, who do you think is going to start 0-4 because they had a brutal schedule, but then going to light it up when they get to conference play and things like that? So that's the value in studying these leagues for me. There's so, it's the reason I love the Mac. it's what made me fall in love with it in the first place, is that that is such a fun league, and you can find something. Now, this year, that league's a total shootout. I mean, it's a crapshoot because everybody's got 20 starters, 21 starters, 22 starters. Hell, some of them, you do the math. Hell, some of them got 24 starters back. Guys blew a damn knee out. They were a two-year starter, and they blew a knee out and played one or two games. And they've been sitting on the bench, and the guy started 10 games was behind them. It is a wild league because you got guys coming back for 6 years and, you know, things like that. That's not happening in the Southeastern Conference. It's not happening in the Big 12 and schools, the Pac-12. I mean, look, Stanford ain't got anybody coming back for a sixth year because those dudes are all going to be making, you know, they're going to be all doing startups for tech companies in Palo Alto. Their ass ain't playing football another year. They're ready to get on to their career. That ain't the case at Bowling Green. You know, that ain't the case in, you know, Bowling Green, Kentucky. You know, it is a different deal. And I think the value in these teams is a lot of fun. Western Kentucky, the offensive change, the coaching changes is going to be a lot of fun to watch. So this is a team to keep an eye on.
First play I've rolled out is I got Florida Atlantic at 9-1 to win the conference. And I also took him at over seven wins at even money. I like this FAU roster. I think it's really talented. If you look at the recruiting rankings, the only team they're going to play all season that's got a higher recruiting rankings than they have is going to be Florida when they play them early on in the season. I doubt they've got a chance against Florida in that one, but I think they've got a great spot in this game here. And where I really like them is because they're on the other side of the division from UAB. So in laying this down, I think the 7-1 is a good bet. I think the over 7 wins is a good bet. And the reason I took them at 9-1 with a chance to win the conference is because if I can get them and I can get UAB into the conference championship game, I can lay a nice hedge down knowing that I'm sitting on a 9-1 ticket for UAB to win the thing. And so I'm back on the Willie Taggart bus. I had not said that since he was at USF years ago, but I'm on the bus with Willie Taggart, and I'm thinking he's got this thing rolling. I'm excited to see what they're going to do this season.
I think Willie Taggart does an awesome job with somebody else's players. He's got Kiffin's players. I know he's brought some transfers in, and, you know, look, Nikosi Perry, I do think, is a talented player. And, you know, it's can he reach him? But he also, let's not pretend that Nikosi Perry is going to go light it up. That guy had a lot of problems at Miami. Is he an older player and can they coach him up? That is certainly possible. But I'm not going to pretend that this guy's Drew Brees either. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing with this roster. They do have a ton of people back, like we've said about every team in this mid-level. And you bring in Nikosi Perry and guys like that, and they're like, oh, it's going to be great. Taggart did such a poor job at Florida State. They were so ill-prepared 2 years in a row. I don't know that me and the four guys coaching my 11-year-olds couldn't have gotten a football team as equally prepared as they were. They were a bad football team. And I know coaches on that Florida staff who were making jokes about how bad they were. They went up there knowing they were going to drill them that first year for how bad they were and how poorly coached they were. I can't get past that. Yeah, I'm going to sell on Willie Taggart. I think it's a good roster. Maybe the best roster. Maybe the best roster in the league. I'm going to pass.
I'll roll with Willie in this one. Here's my thought on Willie is I think the Power 5 game is too big for Willie. He's done bad. He did great at Western Kentucky.
And that very well could be the case.
Well at USF. He went to Oregon. He got scared and bailed, I think, and took that job at Florida State. Yes, they were awful. I mean, you don't realize how big of a rebuild Florida State is unless you've really dug into it. But I'm going to ride with him.
And people listening to this need to understand that's not a shot at Willie Taggart as an individual.
No.
Because I agree with you on that. And that's not a shot. I think he's a fabulous man. Candidly, Willie Taggart's probably the kind of guy I'd like my son to go play for. I mean that. I think he's probably a really – everything I've heard about that guy is he's a great dude and he's honest. And unfortunately, That's not the environment we're in college football today. That's not necessarily, is he the guy that you want mentoring your son and kids? Probably so. And that may not be the best situation. Not a shot on Willie Taggart as an individual. And you may be right. It may be Power Five that's the difference. Could very well be the difference in that. But at the end of the day, man, outside of, because he did do a good job at Western Kentucky. People forget. That's what led him to South Florida, because he did a good job there. And then that parlayed into Oregon. And I know for a fact that Scott Strickland would have hired Willie Taggart had he not taken the FSU job over Dan Mullen.
Interesting.
So just FYI, clearly Willie's got a really good reputation in coaching and athletic director circles, and I think it's because he's a good man. He did such a poor job at Florida State, it is hard for me to sign off on it.
Only nuggets I got left in this conference, Marshall, I think they hired a good coach in Charles Huff. I'm still kind of befuddled on why they got rid of Doc Holliday. This team is going to live and die by if they can keep their quarterback, Grant Wells, upright, and the offensive line play has got to get better. I think it will. And if it does, I think this could be a pretty good team. They're going to have to improve defensively a little bit. But all in, I think Marshall's a pretty solid upper echelon team in this side of the in this level. I like them. I think UTEP is going to be improved. As much as we have ragged on UTEP over the years, can't get it right. I think they're going to be better this season, but the team I think is really spiraling the drain, and it's going to be a bet against team for me most of the season, is going to be North Texas. I think Seth Luttrell missed the boat when he didn't take that job at Kansas State a few years ago if it was offered to
him. Totally agree.
And I think now this team is spiraling. He was lucky to have the quarterback play that he did early on, and now I think this team is a mess. Defensively, this team is a disaster. And I don't think that they can keep up in a shootout. So I do not like North Texas at all and the product that they're going to put on the field this season.
That UTSA is the team that's fascinating to me. Jeff Traylor has done, I think a really good job turning that program around. And boy, he's been recruiting well. And then you look, he's a guy that's got a ton of players back. You go on the road opening week. At Illinois, new football coach, new system, new program. Is that a game they can sneak? These are the kinds of games that you really got to look at. And this is a fascinating game to me, because you think anybody's going to be all fired up about UTSA rolling into Champaign? I mean, you talk about flat spot, and I think these guys are going to be all fired up and ready to play. They got a bunch of guys that have been there. Lorenzo Dantzler is a guy that I know several people in his family from my hometown, is a guy who's got a huge upside, plays pretty long. He's 6'2", 245, but he's a long-arm guy, outside pass rusher, made a lot of plays for those guys. I think he's been there forever. I don't know that he's a fifth-year guy, but he's got to be a fifth-year guy, because that feels like he was playing at Starkville High School forever ago. So anyway, long story about that. I think UTSA is going to be better. And I think this is going to be a team that's got a chance to make a little noise, as it turns out, in the league. So I like those guys to kind of keep an eye on. But, you know, at the end of the day, Charles Huff is another guy, and you brought him up. Another guy, and I love how everybody loves it. Everything circles back to Mississippi State. But when you know people and you meet people, it makes a difference. Charles Huff is a really, really good recruiter and a really likable guy. And I'm fascinated to see what he did. This is a shaky deal for me, because I have seen so many teams fire their winningest coach and bring in the hot shot young recruiter who's the hot name, and it go awful. I mean, like, just abysmal. But at the same time, I think Huff's a great recruiter. He has a great reputation. He's coached under a lot of good players. I mean, a lot of good coaches. So I am fascinated to see how this deal shakes out. He left Mississippi State to take the Alabama job, not for unhappiness, but because he was working towards a head coaching job. And let's face it, Marshall's a good step-up job. That's a really, really good mid-level job. And I'm going to be fascinated to see how he does and wish him well, because he was a super nice, super nice guy. And everybody around our program liked him in Starkville.
Yeah, I agree. I like him as a coach. I think he's going to do well. And I think you're right. It is a step-up job for him. Doc Holliday, that was his last job, without a doubt.
No question.
And
but how do you fire a guy who's winning? Go 7-3, 8-5, 9-4, 8-5. That was the last 5 years. You're going to fire that dude?
I wouldn't. But
I wouldn't.
I'm not an athletic director. Anyway, Scott, that is CUSA for me.
You want to know why you're not an athletic director, Mark? Because you make good decisions. And you're not spending somebody else's money. You're spending your money.
That's very true. Oh, Scott, that's CUSA in a nutshell. Let's move out to a conference I'm really excited about in the Mountain West, Mountain WAC that you've got out there. Fun conference, kind of Pac-12 light. Obviously, Boise State's been the darling of this conference for a long time. They got a new coach. Andy Avalos comes in here. He comes over from being the Oregon defensive coordinator. Prior to that, he's coached around. He actually played and coached at Boise State. So I think he's going to step in. He's going to obviously have a lot of pride in this program. He knows what they can accomplish because he's been there. They've got a pretty solid roster, but the one thing that I'm not 100% sure about is quarterback. You've got Hank Bachmeier and Jack Sears are both there. And from what I'm reading in camp, I'm not getting a lot of great feel that either one of these guys is going to be, you know, blowing the doors off of it. They do bring in an Oregon transfer and Khalil Shakir as a running back. Kid's pretty electric, so I'm looking forward to getting to see him play. Boise State's got 9 wins as the over-under win total. I kind of think that's about right. I don't want to go into a double-digit win situation because you don't have much of an out in there. But Boise State should be fun. Now, a team that I think is going to not be good is going to be your favorite team, which is the Colorado State Rams and Steve Adazio. I think this is a terrible fit as far as a coach and a player goes. But what are you going to expect from these guys?
Nothing. I mean, y'all know I've sold on this. It's been a train wreck, I think, since he got there. They were 1-3 last year. They've had all kinds of roster problems. You know, and they got guys in and out. We got transfers. You're bringing in guys from BC. You know, it's the same deal. That is always a sense of desperation, and I mean that. And, look, Mississippi State had a lot of great players, and they had a lot of guys who could, when Dan Mullen left, that Dan could have taken who were significantly better fits for his system than they were the Joe Moorhead program. And Dan could have helped himself that very first year, very much. But that wasn't his response. And he went and coached and did his deal. I think when you are leaning on bringing guys out, oh, are you unhappy? Let me bring this guy from the transfer in, and you're in year, what is he, year 2?
Yeah.
I just think it's a poor illustration. I at the end of the day, I'm not a Steve Adazio fan. I watched that roster he took over from Dan Mullen at Florida in 2009, and they were abysmal. What'd they go, 6-6 that year? Something like that, with Florida's talent and Urban Meyer recruiting? That's all I need to know. At the end of the day, that tells you all you need to know, and BC didn't give me anything to change that opinion. This is very much a hire that I always criticize. This is a really, really tough job. Why are you going to hire a guy that can do it at an easier job?
So who you got that you like in the Mountain WAC?
Nevada, baby. I love me some Nevada, which you did find a nugget, which totally killed me today. But I think Nevada is the most talented team in the league. I think they got a legitimate quarterback. I think Norvell's doing a really, really good job out there. I think he's building a legitimate program. But at the end of the day, I think they've got a quarterback who's explosive, who can make some plays, who's exciting. He's got an offensive coach. He's going to capitalize on that. And I think they've got a chance to really, really make some noise this year. So I like Nevada. they're my guys, but I'll let you go in and crush me with what you found today.
I'm not going to crush you, but I...
It does make a difference.
I'm a Nevada fan too, but let me explain to you where I'm at with this team is. This team opens up at Cal. They're home against Idaho State. They go to Manhattan, Kansas, and they got to go to Boise. That's their opening four games. I think they go through that, and they'll probably be 1-3. I'm hoping they are, because if they come out of that,
I think they're two and two, but that's another story.
I think they come out of that 1-3, and after that, I think you're going to get a ton of value betting on this team in the following 4 or 5 weeks after that, because they just got to, it just opens up for them a little bit. Now, what I was telling you was, as I was reading today, that Nevada has not been able to practice outdoors yet. Because the fires that are burning in California and Nevada in that region, the smoke is so thick that the air conditions aren't great. So they've only been able to practice indoors. That may not be a big deal. I don't know. But I'm just saying early on in the season, you know, getting a little bit of heat, it's not that bad of a deal. You don't know how constricted their practices have had to be, because I don't know what kind of indoor practice facilities that they've got. So I just found that interesting. I'm going to keep watching it, because I'm very interested in that opening weekend game against Cal. I feel like that could be kind of a toss-up. Cal's going to be favored in that one. But, yeah, I'm with you. Carson Strong, quarterback play there is great.
Here's the deal. I think this is the best team in the league. I really do. I think they're legitimately good. Like, I can give you some good – like, going at Boise. Like, I think they can win at Kansas State straight up. Coming off of Boise, they're 3-1. Under Norvell against the spread and straight up after a bye week under Norvell. So I'd argue that's a huge game. They got a chance to win that. You know what scares me about this roster and what scares me about this team? They play 9 straight weeks. And everybody looks at that on the front side of the schedule. It's that much worse when it's the last 9 weeks of the season. And you start talking about playing from October 2nd to November 27th, 9 straight weeks with no off week. You get people banged up, and they play 2 very winnable, likely should win games. Air Force at home on a Friday night, short week after being at San Diego State. That's week 8. And then they go to Colorado State, a team they should beat, and they're better, but that's 9 straight weeks going on the road week 9. That is generally a loss, and you can look at any trend you want to look at. I think that may cost them the league.
It could. I absolutely agree with you. We've seen it where after you get to the 5th and 6th game on these teams without a bye, you start seeing some regression between 8% and 10%. On both sides of the ball, just because teams are gassed, you've got injuries to come up with it. So I totally agree with you. You got to circle those buys, figure out where they can be, and then start looking weeks ahead of time to see if you can't find some value in there.
Mark, you can go back to this. I think this was 2015. The 2015 Ole Miss team with Kelly and those guys, they lost that crazy ass game to Arkansas,
yeah,
where that was the flip back and all. That was 8 straight weeks without a game.
Without a bye.
Without an off week. Ole Miss. Without a bye. They beat the brakes off them if that's 2 weeks later. If that's an off week in a game, they beat the brakes off of them. And they win the West, not Alabama, in 2015. So it's a huge difference. I can give you example after example of doing it. But people forget that. And if you go back and listen to our podcast, we talked about that week.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's schedules mean a lot. And that's why I said you got to kind of look at it early, because, and I find myself too having to remind myself not to try to handicap week to week in a vacuum, because that's not how these teams get to play.
That's right.
And you've got to be paying attention to those things. And that's why it's kind of good now to kind of look at your schedule, circle some spots, come back to it, look at it later in the season. Just an easy way to make some notes. That's why we go through doing this. And, Scott, that being said, I'm going to transition to my favorite team of the WAC. Let's go to Laramie, Wyoming, and the Cowboys
that we've
got up here. Craig Bohl up here has been the head coach for a while, both offense and defense. Coordinators coming back. This team in 2020 had a really solid defense. The problem was they could not match it up with an offense to get it going. They were, frankly, almost horrible down to down. ranking very low in offensive success rate, below 100. But I think this team is going to improve over what they've got. I think they can lean on the defense. I think Bowles a good coach. Over-under win total for this team is about 7, 7.5. I like them at 8 wins. I think they could start the season 4-0. The only game that you could possibly circle is Ball State comes up there to play in Laramie. It is a definite home field advantage when you're playing in Laramie, Wyoming. That is the highest field in the country. It's at 70. I think it's 7,500 feet. If I'm wrong, somebody correct me. But it's way up there. Then they've got UConn. UConn's going to be better but abysmal. Air Force will be used to it, but I don't think Air Force is going to be very good this year. Plus, they play Air Force every year, so they're used to seeing that triple option. Fresno's a meh team. New Mexico, not much of it. And then it comes down to the end of the season. San Jose State, Colorado State, Boise State, Utah State, and Hawaii. I just think the schedule sets up really well for them. This team's got two deep wides. They're stronger than they've been in a long time. I look for this team to have a very solid defense that they can lean on. It's going to put pressure, a lot of havoc from this defense to get teams off the field. Offensively, I think this team's going to take a step forward and improve. Over 7.5 wins is where I'm rolling with the Wyoming Cowboys this season.
I agree with you. I think Bowles is a very, very good football coach. I'm going to give you a little history on Wyoming football head coaches. I'm going to read these guys off. That's starting early 70s, basically, from where they were head coaches. Listen to the names that have been head coaches at Wyoming that you still hear about today. And more importantly, that leads to how in the world has Bowles not gotten a big job? Because he's the guy nobody remembers. He's the guy who built North Dakota State.
Yeah.
Everybody forgets it. You know, everybody just like looks the other way. That, like, he's not the guy that built it. Fritz Schirmer, Fred Akers, Texas, Bill Lewis, Pat Dye, Al Kincaid, Dennis Erickson, Paul Roach, Joe Tiller, your man Dana Dimmel at UTEP, Vic Koning, Joe Glenn and Dave Christensen, and then Bowles. That is an amazing. They went through a stretch of 15, 16 years where they rolled some legends through there.
Yeah.
I mean, Pat Dye, are you kidding me? I mean, that guy's a legend. You know, I mean, little guy that coached Drew Brees at Indiana was mixed in there. I mean, you know, Purdue. I mean, and then Bowles has done what he's done, has done a really, really good job up there. He's 8 years in, stunned he hadn't gotten another job. So to say that you think these guys, I think that's a good bet. At the end of the day, it's a well-coached football team. It's got a lot of talent back, got some good players. Their schedule, what I think, sits up well. They're at Northern Illinois. They should win that ball game. Ball State's coming up there. They're at Connecticut. Ought to win that ball game. Team may start 4-0 before they ever start conference play. That's a chance to make a big number.
Only other team I've got a real question mark on that could be successful this season is San Jose State. Starkle is back as the quarterback there. You could argue that he was the worst quarterback in the SEC for two different teams when he played for Texas A&M and Arkansas. But he's moved out to San Jose State. And here's where I'm going to throw this one at you real quick is – the passing game coordinator. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but he was the passing game coordinator and the quarterback coach, Ryan Gunderson. He left San Jose State to go to UCLA to coach DTR with Chip Kelly this next year. I think that's going to be a big deal. I think losing him is going to be a big deal. Even though Starkle has got to be 7 years out of high school, I still think it's going to be a big deal to lose him as a coach because San Jose State obviously does not have the talent that most schools do, even though it has improved, but they still recruit below about 120, somewhere in there. I mean, they're at the very bottom of the recruiting trend on this thing. Their schedule's manageable. I mean, they've got USC early. They got to go to Western Mich. You know, but I could see this team winning 8 to 9 games and lighten it up but I just can't figure out how I feel about San Jose State this season.
Yeah, at the end of the day, Starkel is seriously, he is the Joe Louis from Coming to America. Oh my God. He's 137 years old. I mean, that guy was, he almost beat Kellen Mond at Texas A&M for the job.
Right.
Mond's in the NFL and was a five-year player at A&M. I mean, that guy's been around forever. I mean, forever. And what you said about, I would tell you that especially at one stop, he got a lot of poor coaching in the Southeastern Conference. But I agree with you. He's had a ton of experience. But look, you and I've had this conversation numerous times. Coaching is critical to player success. And I think football is more key than any other sport. There are coaches that can take, as Bear Bryant used to say, take mine and beat urine and urine and beat mine. That is true. There are guys who are just better football coaches and program managers. And anybody that doesn't see the jump that Starkel took and then a guy who's responsible for coaching him leave and have question marks either doesn't have the knowledge to know the guy left or should be asking questions. That's the bottom line. And I think that it's been great seeing Starkel's success there, but it is a question mark for sure. Are they going to continue to be successful? The thing about the Mountain West to me is they've got so many teams that are, like you look at Air Force and they're just always, they're right there. They do what they do. It kind of is, what it is. I think Blake Anderson is such an interesting hire at Utah State. I think he needed to leave. I candidly, especially on the defensive side of the football, is New Mexico the best defensive staff in the league?
They are the.
It certainly could be.
New Mexico's improved this season. They're going to actually be a lot better than they have been in years. And I'm cheering for New Mexico. Keep in mind, this was a team last year that could not practice, nor could they play in the state of New Mexico because the governor shut them down. They played their home games in Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas. I mean, if you're cheering for anybody this season, get on the New Mexico
train.
Get on
these cats. There's no doubt. And look, Gonzalez. Look, he played there. I think he was a safety. There was a DB there back in the day. And, at the end of the day, that's a big deal. But he's got Rocky Long, who used to be the head coach, who coached him, who did a phenomenal job at San Diego. Comes back to be his defense coordinator. He's like, man, I want my guy to go be successful. I mean, this is actually a really good defensive staff. And if anybody knows how to get it done, these two guys know how to get it done there. Look, knowledge of a program and what it takes to be successful there is key. They're a fascinating team to me. I'm not going to place money on them, but they're a team that's going to be fun to watch. And yes, there's people like, oh, Scott's going to be watching. Yeah, I will. I'll be sitting on my back porch watching those Jake Legs play at 11 o'clock at night because that's just, I'm that guy.
No, I think New Mexico is going to be a bet-on team this season. I definitely think because of the defense that they've got and improvement, I think they're going to be a lot better. I'm excited about them. Now, the one team I'll throw it out there and see if you want to sweat this out, UNLV's over-under win total is 1. This team is quite possibly one of the 3 worst teams in the country. And looking at their schedule, you could flirt around with the idea that they may not win 2 games here. I just cannot see if I want to sweat this out. They open up with Eastern Washington, which I don't know where Eastern Washington sits because I haven't done an FCS review yet. But the only other game on their – the easiest game on their schedule past that is probably – I don't know. I mean, we just talked about UTSA and New Mexico being better. I can't imagine they're going to beat San Diego State, Air Force on the road, Hawaii – I mean – do we want to bet together? Do we want to split a unit and take the under on UNLV at 1.5 wins?
That is certainly possible. I don't know. They may not beat Eastern Washington. I mean, this is a bad football team. I mean, it really is. And I mean, they're talking about starting a freshman quarterback. It's just, it's a total rebuild. You talk about not having, I mean, any interest in a football team, and this is them. There's a line in the movie Predator, and said, I wouldn't waste that on a broke dick dog. That's pretty much the way I feel about this. I would rather us just go buy shots for a bunch of high school kids in the bar or whatever. It is just, I don't know that throwing money after them, even on a wild hair for fun to say we did it, is worth it.
Well,
I think I'd rather just, you know, just do anything. I'd rather set it on fire, candidly.
I'm going to bet you
they're bad.
Minus 1.5. I'm going to go under 1.5. I did the same thing with Ulamo. Ulamo and UNLV are the two worst teams in the country.
They're going to be bad, too. Which, by the way, how about my man Rich Rod being there? I said, how do you not just hire Rich Rod? And then Bobby Bowden, which, by the way, we hadn't talked about him.
We talked about him.
God rest his soul. We talked about him last week, but we hadn't God rest his soul. Great guy. Just he gets the head coach for a day. He's the interim for a day when Bowden leaves to go take care of his dad. I'm like, y'all had your dream. You should just let him stay. I think it's hysterical that Rich Rod is the OC for Terry Bowden. This is a dude that in 2007 almost got the Alabama job. Like, if they don't hire Nick Saban, they end up with Rich Rod. And then he goes to Michigan, which is a total disaster. That guy's the offensive coordinator in Monroe, Louisiana, and was almost the Bama coach. Do you remember how good they were at West Virginia?
Yeah. Pat White, Steve Slayton.
Pat White. Those were phenomenal. I mean, they were awesome. I mean, they were good. I mean, they beat the dog shit out of Mississippi State and Silver Spring twice during that stretch. Killed them. They were good. If you don't think your decisions as a person make a difference in where you end up, look at Rich Rod. Should have stayed at West Virginia. The bigger job ain't always the better job.
Hey, I'll do you one better than that, and then we can wrap this thing up. If you're going to talk about coaches that have fallen from on high and have fallen a long way, let's go back to 2006 when my main man, Brian Van Gorder, was the head coach at Georgia Southern. He then left there to take assistant coaching jobs with the Falcons. He was the DC at Auburn, coached the Jets linebackers, was the DC at Notre Dame, was an assistant at Georgia, was an assistant at Oklahoma State, was the DC at Louisville, was the DC at Bowling Green last year, only to get fired, and he is now the defensive coordinator at Gulf Shores High School in Alabama. So you can't talk to me about...
And I don't know why Gulf Shores hired him.
You can't talk to me about a guy that's fallen further than that.
Go back and listen to our podcast in 2012. Mullen and our offensive staff figured out Van Gorder's calls and... literally state gashed those guys. I remember this year for all it's worth because my son actually has a deathly peanut allergy and unfortunately got exposed to peanuts during that game. And I spent the entire second half in the hospital trying to keep him from dying from anaphylactic shock. But that's a whole very long story. But I remember this like yesterday and them saying, oh, like at halftime, they figured out what their slot and state just gashed them the second half. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I look back at that, and that's how Brian – how did he get the job at Notre Dame after that?
No idea.
How do you not know that teams have figured out what he's doing? And you could tell it. I think everybody had done it. And it just kind of floated around coaching circles. And – it just went downhill. He didn't forget how to coach defense all of a sudden. Everybody figured out what he was doing. And it was, you know, man, that's how you end up where you are. But, I mean, hey, he's probably going to have a lot of fun. He's made a bunch of money coaching in all those schools. Now he's down on the beach hanging out. He may be living his best Brian Van Gorder life. He may get the stash back and be 100% rolling.
Oh my God.
If y'all don't we may bump into him at Bucky's, Mark. I mean, come on. There's a Bucky's right there at the Gulf Shores exit.
Oh my God.
We may bump into him at Bucky's.
In that guy's 40-year coaching career, he went from being an assistant coach in West Bloomfield High School in Michigan in 1981. And 40 years later, he's an assistant coach after a few stops in the NFL and major Power 5 conferences. He's an assistant coach in Gulf Shores again. I hope he's having a great time and he's happy. But I can't imagine a career that has got that kind of a trajectory and only to crash back to earth like that.
In another movie reference, Waterboy, Lawrence Taylor says, "Don't smoke crack," after Waterboy answers something. The lesson here for everybody listening, don't grow a porn stash.
Oh, man.
Downfall of his career. The porn stash was the downfall of his career.
It probably been. Scott, I don't know anything else, man.
All he needed was a full-on orange Corvette to go boogie nights on us.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Scott, I don't have anything else. Next week is week zero. We will talk about the independents. We'll highlight the games for next week. I'm looking forward to betting on some Coach Prime as we get closer to the season starting. And week one, getting rolling there. It's going to be fun. I am excited about college football being just a couple of weeks away.
I think everybody can tell just by my, you know, demeanor tonight that college football is here, and I'm excited, and I can't wait. It is the greatest game. Mark, we have officially booked our midweek action, and it is on.
It's going to be fun, folks, this season. It's going to be fun. Folks, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at NipMark. That's ATNIPPMARC, and he's Scott Denson, one. You can also hit us up on the Crazy Sheet. We'll have this out there. Share with us. Give us some comments. If there's some things you'd like us to look at, hit us in the comment board. Hit us on Twitter. We always love the reviews. Hey, man, listens are up at an all-time high. We appreciate y'all sharing us with your friends. We're going to have some fun this season. Hopefully, we're going to make a few dollars, and we're going to enjoy college football. That being said, can't wait to talk to y'all again next week. Have a good week.